Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about some Disney news, and we're going to take a little trip back to the 1990s Disney. That's coming up today on Traveling with the Mouse. What's up, everybody? This is episode number 504. Officially of Traveling with the Mouse. My name is Adam, and I am joined by John.
Welcome aboard the Walt Disney World Express monorail, our highway in the sky to the Magic Kingdom.
Yes, that was your 90s voice of
yes.
The monorail. And
how did it sound? Did it come across pretty good? Sounds similar. Good, yeah,
probably my favorite.
Probably the rendition we remember the most.
Yeah.
Whoever that guy is, I don't remember. Who's his name? What's his name?
Hang on, I'll pull it up. Now I want to know.
Monorail guy.
It might be Kevin Miles. Is he the one? Let's see. It's either Matt Hansen or Kevin Miles. I have to refresh. I think it might be Matt Hansen. What's funny is I heard his voice on... I forgot who I was calling. Was it Disney Cruise Line or something? It was one of the things I had called. And I heard his voice and I was like,
I know. Like, I recognize that voice. You know, with AI, these voices can probably live forever.
Yeah.
I mean, look what they did with the Walt animatronic. So
it says, just since we're going already back in time, Jack Wagner, of course, was the original. Looks like was up until 1988.
Really?
And then Kevin Miles took over from 88 to 98. And then Matt Hansen was 98 to 2004. And then
There was a difference between those two, between the early 90s and the late 90s.
Yeah.
So I could just, although they sounded similar, there was enough of a difference. Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. They are pretty similar because I seem to feel like they were kind of the same. But
I feel like, what was the name? Who was the one that took over before the Matt format? What'd you say his name was?
Kevin Miles.
I feel like he was the one that also did like the Disney radio. Remember how they used to have the radio and when you got close to Walt Disney World, how you could hear information about it? Talk about going back to the 90s, obviously. That's what this stirs.
That's funny that you mentioned that because when we were driving down, I was driving down with my two boys on the boys' trip a couple weeks ago, and one of the billboards, I forgot exactly where it was. It had to be in Florida, but had worn off to where you could see what was underneath, and it showed the Disney radio. Like you can see, obviously it's not
functional
anymore.
Yeah.
But you saw the old billboard that showed like Disney radio. And I was telling them like, yeah, you used to, when you got close enough, you could tune in and hear like,
could you see the actual station? Could you see what station it was?
I didn't get it. Just that part was covered up still. It just said Disney radio something. I forgot the whatever. But I was telling them, like, yeah, that was one of the old, like, we used to always tune in whenever we got within range, just so you could hear, like, we're close enough to Disney to get the radio.
Vacation's begun, getting excited.
Yeah.
Something other. I bet you can't wait. I'm going to Disney World. No, anyway, sorry.
Right, so it sounds like Kevin Miles is the one that we like the most.
I probably heard during the era where I was going more as an adult. Let's put it that way. So, I mean, I have fond memories of both of them, obviously, and even Jack Wagner. But I don't remember much of Jack Wagner because, like you said, it was over in 88. So,
right. They both sound the same to me. You know, it was interesting. The ones that say Matt Hansen and Kevin Miles, at least
they sound very similar.
Up.
Yeah. They were in the same vein. Yeah. Well, even today, the differences are subtle. I think they have a style that they go for.
Yeah.
I might audition. Either way. What do you think?
Yeah, you could,
Can audition for the next monorail voice.
Yeah.
The now voice of the monorail.
The voice you're now hearing is Richard Kiley.
Sorry. It's Sir Richard Kiley. Spared no expense.
So Joe Hirsch did it from 2004 to 2012. That was kind of the period I didn't go that much. So I don't remember. I do remember.
From when?
04 to 2012.
I mean, I went a good bit during that time period, so I just don't remember the difference.
He was very different from the Kevin Miles, Matt Hansen boy. But Tom Kane has done it since 2012, and I like his spiel. I think his is pretty good, too.
Why do they change him up every so often?
I don't know.
Because they only got to record so many things, and it goes on repeat pretty much until they change something.
Yeah. I mean, it's been, 13 years since Tom Kane did it, and I don't think he's able to do it anymore. So they'll have to change it to somebody else.
So you're telling me there's a chance.
Right. Because I've complained about this before, so I'm going to sound like a broken record.
Of course.
They need a new spiel for the monorail since, 2018 or something, because ever since the door incident, the driver has to come over the loudspeaker to tell you not to lean on the doors. I'm like, they could easily fix that with a spiel.
They still use please stand clear, right?
Well, of course, the Jack Wagner part, that'll always be there, I hope. They'd be stupid if they got rid of that, but
I feel like in the recent years when I've ridden the monorail that the spiel sounds awfully quiet. They've turned the volume down on it for some reason.
Or the speakers just don't work like they used to. Yeah. I mean, and they're 40-year-old.
See, that doesn't fit. That doesn't fit because when they switch it and they, the driver's on, you can hear them clear as a bell. Well, with the exception of the muffle. The muffle part, if they're holding it too close.
What I was about to say is, when it comes on, it's like, we're for sure, or next time you're going for any infant or running, please don't ring the front doors. That's basically what
I'm like, dude, how come you have all this money that they spend every year on the parks and they can't teach people how to use a CB radio or whatever it is they're using up there? You're not supposed to hold it right up against your mouth.
Yeah.
You need to pull it away a little bit.
Right.
Less is more.
That's why I say they just need a new spiel that has that in there that just says, welcome aboard. We're about to go to the Grand Floridian. It'll be our next stop, followed by the Magic Kingdom and then the Canterbury, blah, blah, blah.
Well, not only
don't
that, maybe
on the doors because they might fall off.
I don't know what they're using now, but couldn't they just use a headset, sort of like what we're using in this day and age? I mean, I don't know.
Or, again, just have a new spiel recorded that says don't lean on the doors because they might fall off. Yeah.
Oh, there'll be a new spiel coming because it'll be all AI in use, I'm sure.
Amy, are they waiting for a new resort to be built?
Right. I mean, they can just input what they want to be said and AI can do the voice.
Yeah.
And that's what they'll do probably next.
They brought Walt back as a animatronic. Maybe they can bring Jack Wagner back as the voice again.
Yeah, they did his voice pretty good. They took samples, from what I understand, of speeches that he actually gave.
Right.
Yeah, made new speech.
Yeah.
Pretty much out of it. So
this turned into the monorail episode, monorail voiceover episode.
But well, I mean, it's the beginning, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, it's flowing naturally. Just don't ruin it here.
Right. But that kind of is a segue into, the 90s is probably my favorite era because of that was when I grew up. I mean, that's most of my memories of going as a kid.
Well, let's see. When you say the 90s, so let's see. Since my birthday is late in the year, it's November. So at the beginning of 1990, I was 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
By the time the decade came to a close, so since my birthday is in November, I was 21 years old by the end of that decade.
I was four. Yes. And then 14.
In my case, you were 4 and 14 at the end of that decade.
Well, I was.
So I see it probably a little differently than you do, even.
Yeah, for sure.
I can think of it like this. My daughter will be turning 10 in December. So it's similar to the years that she is going into.
Yeah. Interesting. The decade now. Huh. Well, before we get into all the nostalgia there, there is a few things I wanted to talk about in the news.
A few things you wanted to hit.
A few things. The Starlight Parade.
Yes.
It's not going to be happening when the, because it's August, so it's peak Halloween season. So once the Halloween parties start, it will not be happening on those nights because they have their own parade.
So it won't be happening on like what, 3 times a week? Or is it 2 times a week?
Yeah. That's a good question. I don't know exactly how many. But
they're pretty consistent most of the time with what they do. They usually do it on certain days and then they stick to it pretty much until the end of the season.
Yeah. So as of right now, there's 2 parades per night.
But I mean, aren't you saying that they're just basically anytime there's a party night, they're going to not have it, essentially? Yeah.
Right. So if you want to see Starlight, you obviously can't go on a party night because if you don't have tickets to the party, for one, you can't go. But if you are going to the party, you won't see the Starlight, obviously.
You know, I'm forever going to associate, or I'm forever, every time I first say Starlight, I'm always going to sing the beginning of Wishes.
Right.
Starlight. Star bright.
Speaking of, have you listened to the soundtrack to Starlight at all? Do you like
it? Not really. I haven't taken the time.
It is on Spotify.
Yes, it is. It's on wherever you get your streaming. Surely it's not exclusive to Spotify.
So anyway, it looks like on non-party nights, it's still 9/11. So 2 parades.
9/11.
I recommend doing the... Nine and 11.
Okay, I was about to say, non-party nights, it's still 9/11. What?
No. But go to the 11 if you can, because it was much easier.
Yeah, I would think it would be for most.
Yeah. It has been super hot down there. Thankfully, here where we are, it's not too bad. It's been great.
No, it was in the 70s. It even reached the 60s here today.
Yeah. It's very chilly. But still like 95 there. But so back to Starlight, though, the pass holder restrictions have been lifted because they didn't really need them to begin with. But they had dropped the pass holders can show up after 2 during the week at Magic Kingdom without a park reservation kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So now, like for when Starlight started, they required a park reservation of some sort to get to Magic Kingdom.
I see.
And now they've lifted that restriction. I think the only day that actually sold out was the debut day of Starlight. I think that was the only. So, and now cast members can see it. That was another thing when I was at La Cava. They were talking about wanting to go see Starlight, but they were blocked out until August. So now that it's August, they can go see it. So let's see. There's a big refurbishment at Port Orleans Riverside.
Is there anything special that's going to?
I wonder. Didn't I see some other resort was getting a refurb? Anyway.
I can't think of anything that's getting another refurb.
You know, it was funny. Apparently, I lost a Magic Band at Disney last week, and I didn't know it.
Okay.
But someone found it, turned it in, and Disney sent me an email saying that it was found. And
that's weird.
Know if I wanted to, you know, mail it to me or do I want to pick it up somewhere? But I was like, just send it back to me. So I must have dropped it somewhere. It was like my spare Magic Band that I kept in my bag. And I don't know how I lost it, but I must have come out at some point. Someone found it, turned it in, and Disney sending it back to me. So
interesting.
Yeah. The new pass holder magnet is going to be Crush, and it's going to be passed out at Animal Kingdom.
Okay.
Right. Because
Crush is associated with Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
So heavily. Like, I mean.
They're clearly just trying to get some pass holders to go to Animal Kingdom because it's probably not getting a whole lot of attention right now.
Well, it's not like there's, you know, anything open over there.
Right. We skipped Animal Kingdom when we went.
I don't know. Animal Kingdom still has a certain charm to it. I mean, though there's construction over in Dinoland. I mean, you still have Everest. Probably it's one of the best coasters. It stands stands the test of time to me.
Yeah.
Flight of Passage is still stirs emotions, of course. I would even say, you know, see how far Dinosaur has deteriorated in its last few months in existence.
Because they're probably not going to do a lot to fix anything if things break.
Yeah, I find it hard to believe.
Speaking of breaking, have you seen the destruction of Muppet's Courtyard? That entire building that was the gift shop is completely gone now.
Rubble. I've seen some overheads.
Yeah, a lot of destruction. Looks like Pizza Rizzo is still there. The rat pizza's sign is still there for now.
And the cast parking lot, they have basically the outline, I guess, for the building.
Yeah.
In the parking lot.
Yep. And that structure is taking shape for the building, but...
Yeah, part of it. The very front.
Yeah, the entrance. Like. Yeah, the entrance, yeah. Which I saw.
It goes pretty deep into that courtyard now. Muppet's Courtyard. You know, Muppet's Courtyard wasn't very big, but now it's going to be deeper. That's the best way I know to put it, to get to the Monsters, Inc. building.
Animal Kingdom Lodge is doing a refurb. That was the one I was remembering, was Animal Kingdom Lodge.
What are they refurbing? Just freshening up?
Just as
a bit.
The guest rooms. I think it's probably been a while since it's had one, so it's going to be over
just
gonna the
next 2 years. Tidy up a bit.
I think they're doing all the rooms over the course of 2 years.
2 years.
I heard about this on social media, but there was a ferry boat crash.
What?
At Magic Kingdom, going ferrying guests to and from the, you know, park to TTC. I believe it crashed into the dock at TTC at one point. A lot of people were injured, but there's not a lot from Disney on that. Did you? I saw on social media people posting about it, how bad it was.
I had the, I guess you could call it, privilege of...
Of crashing on the boat?
Well, no. Oh. I was actually in line for the ferry boat when it hit pretty hard.
Oh, really?
You could hear it when it hit the dock pretty hard.
Huh.
I don't think anybody was injured that particular day. What was funny was that I was walking up. This is when I was kind of by myself, I think, if I remember right. I was walking up and I was kind of just gauging. I was like, whether or not to take the monorail or the ferry. And the ferry was on its way back over. And I was like, yeah, I think I'd probably do better time-wise, you know, taking the ferry this time. And then that happened.
Did they keep running it, or did they have to stop, shut it down?
No, they kept running it. They did. It did have to, it took longer than normal. They had to do something. I don't know what they did exactly, but it did take longer than normal to do that. And I started to leave after a few minutes, but by the time I did, the monorail was gone again. So I just toughed it out.
Yeah. Sometimes that happens when you're thinking you're going to make good time. It's just like,
I was this will be faster this particular time. And it doesn't end up that way.
I remember I thought monorail one time would be faster. I was like, oh, I got in short line. But then it was like, we're putting a new train on the service, so we have to hold here for like 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah, they'll do so. They're like, oh, it's time to switch something or another. I'm like, it's like, all right, we got up here just in time.
Yeah. And I think it was before the train. We were trying to get to Tiana's quickly, and we're like, oh, the train's in the station. Let's go. And it was like, the parade is about to exit the backstage, so we're going to wait and clear before we can go through. So they waited for, we had to wait for the parade to get out before.
Oh yeah, because it crosses the railroad, doesn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like, of course. Timing is everything. So anyway, this latest ferry boat crash, though, it says one guest described the conditions as including heavy rain during the incident. The guest said that the ferry boat was cruising along when it impacted the dock and came to a dead stop. The guest said that people weren't just falling, they were flying after the boat crash.
Okay.
Guest said that it was a chaotic scene. Guests scattered everywhere.
Man overboard.
Right, basically. There are pictures of a lot of people being attended to. after that happened. So, but yeah, I heard about it on social media, but I haven't heard like an official release from Disney, but
weird.
But anyway, so that happened. Buzz Lightyear is now closed for its refurb.
What does it do to reopen?
Sometime in next year. It just says 2026. It doesn't say a date.
It's going to be down the rest of the year.
Yep.
You can't get a Buzz for the rest of the year.
Yeah. I hope they fix the animatronic in a queue. That'd be great. And of course, the blasters would be great to have, handheld blasters.
Well, they're supposed to be adding a very sophisticated animatronic, you know, where you do the testing now, like the testing targets. They're supposed to do a sophisticated animatronic right there in place of that section for, it's still going to be the testing.
Right.
But it's going to be a sophisticated like robot moving the targets.
Yeah.
Things like that. So that should be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Being able to free aim though will be, but it depends though that, you know, I know where the high point targets are, but will they move those around? Will they change them? Maybe they will. So you might learn that all over again if that's the case.
Like that's a game changer.
Could be.
Free guns is a game changer, right?
All right. So I don't see a whole lot more Disney-wise stories. So Galactic Star Cruiser was removed from the road signs. About time.
Really? Just now? It's been closed for how long?
Like 2-3 years now. I forgot when. So
were they still holding out hope that it might one day return?
Probably.
Wow. I would have liked to have done it once.
Yeah.
But
we were talking about it. Like we were trying to think of it. Like when
to figure out a way.
And then they announced the closing and then everything booked up by then. So
yeah,
we missed out sadly on that one.
Some of the experiences though on the Star Cruiser were really good.
Yeah.
Like the Yoda thing, like the lightsaber tree. They looked pretty impressive.
Yep.
I just don't understand why they couldn't recreate some of those experiences and bring them to, say, Galaxy's Edge, like that, the one I just mentioned for one.
Yeah.
Why couldn't they bring those there?
Good question. Maybe because it would be too high demand. But, I mean, they could build a little spot and have a queue for it, I guess, or a virtual queue maybe.
Yeah.
To, like, limit how many people could get in there. But they could totally do that. I don't know why they built a sit-down restaurant in Galaxy's Edge, because that would do very well. It'd make tons of money.
But you know really what they could do? This would have been a good idea for the Disney Quest building, actually, to make it devoted entirely to Star Wars experiences.
Possibly. You could do a lot there.
Like virtual and what and everything else type Star Wars experiences. That would have drawn people.
Yeah. They did have VR stuff at Disney Springs. That was Star Wars for a while, but it didn't.
Yeah, that was the, what was the name of that? That was a third party too, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it that was doing VR?
It was an outside company, but they totally could have done it.
But my point being, if they want to draw people to that building in Disney Quest, they could relate it to that. Because there's a lot of ways you could make games out of Star Wars that people would still love to do. If they do it right.
All right, well, let's take a little trip back in time, shall we?
Let's do that.
I think part of what spurred us on was what we were talking about or before the show was Happy Gilmore 2. Not really Disney related at all, but it was, 30 years roughly, almost. It was 96, right?
When did 96, that? I'm pretty sure that was when it was.
Yeah.
Because it was the second of the Sandler films.
Right. And what I thought was kind of funny, too, was, you know, Tiger is mentioned in the movie, but it's like the first one came out really before Tiger became a, you know.
Right. Tiger. He didn't even win the Masters until 97, right?
So. Right. He turned pro at the end of 96, like August or whatever.
Right. The movie would have already been filmed and packaged and already been in theaters probably by the time Tiger was turning pro.
And now, he wasn't even part of the new one. It just shows you how many years passed between the two, almost 30 years. So,
hello world.
Right. So it's like it missed Tiger Woods' career completely. Although he is mentioned in the film, but that's it. He's not even in it. So,
yep. But John Daly is.
Right. So basically every other golfer is in this movie.
For today's McIlroy.
Yeah. Scheffler and all the, anyway. So, but it got me thinking obviously about the 90s and how much I loved things from that decade. As we talked about at the top of the show, it was my childhood from 4 to 14. That was the 90s. And for you, it was 11 to 21. So,
right. It was more my teenage years for the most part.
Right. Which is why
preteen to early 20s.
Yeah. One of the reasons why I like Phantom Menace so much is because I was, what, 13 when it came out. So I was like the target audience. So
yeah, you just didn't know any better.
Well, because I was 13. That's why.
No, I can't say that. I was, what, 20?
20.
Well, I was going to turn 21. Yeah. See, I was 20 when the movie actually came out.
Yeah, in May.
So,
all right, so here's some things. Things were a lot of times filmed still at MGM Studios or at Disney World in general. A lot of things were still being filmed there. It was still a working studio for the 90s.
Yes.
Like the Mickey Mouse Club, the new Mickey Mouse Club, whatever you want to call it. Like Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake were a result of that. But it was filmed there.
There were some other ones. JC of NSYNC was also a member. Christina Aguilera.
Right. She came out of that too. Forgot about that. Yep.
Oh, gosh. What's her name? Felicity. Why can't I think of her name now? Why can't I think of her name? I can see her plain as day. Anyway. Yeah, I remember she also had a role in, at that point in time, the second Honey, I Shrunk the Kids movies.
Carrie Russell?
Yes, Carrie Russell. And there was a scene in which she had a swimsuit, which I know at the time that I was obviously a teen was a memorable moment that I still remember it now. So
there you go.
Just let's saying.
Not dive too deep into that one, but yes. <Just kidding. laughs> But yeah, a lot of things were still being filmed there, and that was cool. So another thing it says was Adventures in Wonderland. It was a live action Disney Channel series filmed at MGM Studios featuring Alice in Wonderland inspired cast, including a rollerblading white rabbit. I don't remember that, but
wasn't there two animated films completely produced?
Yeah,
like I'm getting from start to finish there. However, one of them was not in the 90s.
Yes, and we're almost there. But okay. Thunder in Paradise is another one that it mentions. Hulk Hogan's action series Thunder in Paradise was shot at a lot of locations at Disney World. The main, like their main place was the Grand Floridian, but it was the, what was it, beach something hotel or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever it was.
But anyway, yeah, it was a terrible show, by the way. I rewatched an episode just to see, and it was so bad. It was unwatchable.
It wasn't that bad, was it?
Incredibly cheesy. I sent you the link to the part of.
Oh, I must not have watched it.
Yeah. The one that.
Stunned in paradise. Oh, sorry.
It's basically what Knight Rider, the boat was like. They're like, they like crossed the ocean in like 5 minutes with like super speed on that
boat. Oh. So it was Batman. Turbines of speed.
Yeah. That's basically what it was. Mulan was one of the
one of two
that was filmed was animated at MGM Studios from start to finish. Yeah. Lilo and Stitch being the other.
Which Lilo and Stitch was what, 02 or 03?
02, it says.
02, okay.
They may have started on it in late 99 or something.
That's possible. It did take a while back then to finish some of these.
And, you know, if you were doing the animation tour, you could have actually seen them working on these films if you were there in the 90s, you know.
That would have been cool. I don't know why I just now thought of this, but, you know, it's a lot of times when you're younger, you don't realize how close together things really are happening. But it makes sense now that Christina was still basically a member of the Mickey Mouse Club, I would think, or either just got done with it when she did the soundtrack for Mulan with,
yeah,
right, with it Mirror.
It also and made sense that they would pull.
I mean, Reflection. I said Mirror. Reflection.
Yeah. I know what you meant. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they pulled from their own talent pool, so to speak, to for these kind of things. So that made sense. And it's not mentioned here in the little research I did, but of course, like Full House episode being filmed here.
Oh, yeah.
Family Matters. Didn't they stayed at Wilderness Lodge? I remember that. But those two shows were big.
Well, in the a lot of the TGI Friday shows.
Yeah.
Had at least scenes in an episode all of Walt Disney World.
Yeah. A story arc there. Yeah. And of course,
yeah,
John Stamos being a very big Disney fan. I don't know if he was prior to that or did that spark his love of Disney? Being on Full House. Curious.
Remember he was involved in a couple of the specials that ended up there. He was on stage with the Beach Boys. He actually toured with the Beach Boys for a short time period.
Yeah. Funny. Yeah.
When you're talking about stuff being shot from start to finish there, of course, one of the very short films used in, I think it was, which was it in the Backlot tour originally where they showed it? Or it was one of the tours. Yeah, because I think it was the beginning of the walking tour or something like that. They showed the film The Lottery Ticket with Bette Midler.
Mm-hmm.
And it was filmed exclusively on the Backlot.
Right.
The entire thing was. So,
of course, Ernest Saves Christmas, but that was in the 80s, which I think the Bette Midler one was too, wasn't it? That was pre-90s.
Well, it was filmed for the MGM Studios, so yes, it had to have been right around the time it opened.
Late 80s.
Close to it. So
but
my bad, I went back too far.
Well, but I mean, you saw those during the 90s, obviously. They were still there.
Yeah.
And Ernest Saves Christmas is still a classic. I watch it every year, although my family tolerates it. But I think it's still one of my favorite ones.
Didn't they film some of the scenes where, like, he was driving and stuff was filmed on,
The like World Drive or
World Drive, right? Yeah. It's hard. I always try to look at those scenes and see if I can tell
where, like,
where exactly they were, because it looks so different.
Like, part of it looks like where in the future, the sign or like the promotion for the Tower of Terror will be, but it's not there yet.
And now it's still not there, not anymore.
The part where, the tree falls off the road, too, and he stops in the middle of the road and gets the tree out. That was really funny. And then where he's taking that guy to the airport. And this is no time for a nap. Anyway, I love that movie.
Too much.
Okay, so the celebrity handprints. We talked about that last week, didn't we? I believe
we mentioned it last week. It was within the last two.
But during the 90s is kind of where that happened most and ended.
Well, yeah. I mean, because there was only, from the moment the studios opened, there was only, 7 months left in that year.
Yeah.
So.
Right. So, yeah, most of it happened in the 90s. And then, as we talked about, the last one, I believe, was Michael J. Fox in 1999.
Yeah.
Isn't that what we talked about?
Well, then we kept finding other ones.
Yeah. I can't remember what it was. Yeah, I think it ended up being him.
It all started because the Hulkster had his hands there.
Right, and we had talked about that, yeah.
Yeah. But Ozzy did not.
Just to name a few, though, you've got Audrey Hepburn. Yes, no Ozzy. But we did learn, since that last episode, that he did visit Magic Kingdom in 1981, I think it was. So,
yeah.
And it looked like he had a great time. And I think I think I read somewhere that his son Jack, is a big Disney fan and goes to Disneyland all the time. So Jack Osborne is a big Disney person. But anyway, let me see. Celebrity handprints. You've got Audrey Hepburn, Harrison Ford, Jim Henson. So those are really cool. Of course, you've got Samuel L. Jackson, Michael J. Fox, just to name a few. There's actually quite a few. Jim Varney is there, which I
think
is really cool. So
the Golden Girls.
Yep. That was another thing. That was some of that was during the 90s where like B. Arthur and Betty didn't they do the 20th anniversary or the 20th anniversary special or something? I think that was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. B. Arthur and Betty White were involved in one of the anniversaries or something. I can't remember what it was.
The 20th, which would have been 92.
Might have been. Now that I think about it, they may have done the 15th because that would have been in the height of the Golden Girls.
Probably. Yeah, let me see.
So it was probably earlier. That was probably an 80s thing.
It could have been. Let's see. Was that five? Yeah, it was 86. You're right. It was the 15th. Yep. But I feel like I saw them do more stuff in the 90s too. It may have been early 90s. Maybe not. But they did quite a few things with Disney. So that's cool. Let's see. Also, this is one of the things that I loved. And some of these started in the 80s, but bled over into the 90s. But the Disney afternoon cartoons like Chip and Dale, Rangers, DuckTales, Tailspin, Goof Troop.
The actual moniker Disney Afternoon was 90s. They didn't do that in the 80s. It didn't start until the 90s.
Yeah. But didn't.
So that counts.
I feel like DuckTales started in the 80s, though. It's like 88 or something.
Well, DuckTales did, but what I'm saying is they didn't have a show called the Disney Afternoon.
Yeah.
They only had DuckTales. Well, Gummy Bears might have been before DuckTales first, actually. I think it was Gummy Bears, then DuckTales, then Rescue Rangers.
Then Tailspin,
then Darkwing Duck.
Yeah, and Goof Troop, I think, after that, right?
Yeah, I can't remember what else was after that.
Those were kind of the extent of my... If there were more, I didn't really watch those. I watched...
You were really big into Tailspin.
Yes. Loved Tailspin.
When you were a kid.
I wish they had more merch for Tailspin. Like, I can't believe they didn't do more merch, because I would have... I wanted Duck so bad.
It was very popular for that short time period, like around 92 or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You couldn't find a Sea Duck toy anywhere. But apparently they did sell some.
Who would have thought creating a cartoon around Jungle Book characters, without the story even being similar, would have worked so well.
Let me see. I'm looking it up on eBay. You can find a Sea Duck toy. So they did make one. It doesn't look great, to be honest.
I kept thinking there was another Disney Afternoon that came along. Wasn't it something like Bonker?
That sounds familiar. Yeah, that sounds right.
It was that, like, that cheetah that was a cop or a cat that was a cop or something like that.
Is that what inspired Zootopia?
It kind of reminds me of that, yes.
Speaking of, did you watch the trailer for Zootopia 2?
I have not.
Coming out November. I think it'll be good. I'll probably go see that one. Nobody wanted to go see Elio with me, so I guess I'll have to wait.
So you haven't been?
No. My kids, like, refused. I was like, I didn't want to go see it by myself. I wanted to take him, but neither one of them wanted to go see it, so.
I wonder, what was their opposition to it? Didn't they look good?
Yeah, they just weren't interested in it. It didn't seem interesting to them.
It's one of those that I feel like, for whatever reason, fell flat in the hype category.
It's probably going to win the Oscar, though, for best animated
picture. Well, of course. And they always do that with pictures that don't make money.
Right.
So
anyway. But I was going to say, okay, so in the early 90s, the Magic Kingdom had a stage show in Mickey's Starland that had, like, it was called Mickey's Magical TV World. But I remember seeing this in, it had to be 92, I guess, that had basically Baloo from Tailspin and Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers and Darkwing Duck was in it. I remember watching that show. It even said it showed had gummy bears in it, but I remember watching that show. Yeah, that was a cool stage show.
Darkwing Duck. When there's trouble, you call DW. Oh, sorry.
I'm trying to think what's the equivalent. I guess because Disney Channel is not as big of a thing. And, like, it'd be, like, what's the current thing? Like, Bluey? I'm trying to think of what's the biggest thing right now. They have, like, Character Meet.
They have a tendency to take theirs and incorporate it into the Disney Junior stage show now. They do their own.
That'd be the closest thing you can get to that. But, I mean,
it's funny. The Disney Junior shows, they don't really last very long before they're gone most of the time. It just seems like they have very short runs. I guess maybe that's in my mind. If I were a kid, I wouldn't think they're very short runs, probably.
Right. I mean, if you look at Tailspin, Rescue Rangers, they all had pretty short runs. It was only like 3 years each. So,
well, I just had to think about the Disney Junior, some of the stuff we saw on the stage with them. Like, I don't even think Vampirina. I mean, is that even still a thing?
No.
Elena.
Right. Darby, you know, is over, right? And it lasted a few years, though. But
yeah, Doc. Well, of course, it's been a while since, like, Jake.
Yeah, Jake. And it's too long. Yeah.
Handy Manny.
Oh, gosh. I mean, Handy Manny ended, like, 15 years ago. Yeah.
Well, all I know is when Manny was still, she was a baby, but he was still at the breakfast over there.
Right. Yeah. He was for a while, but the show had ended several
years. Sophia the First. That's another one.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I remember. Yes. I remember the song. I became a princess overnight. I can't remember how it all went, but.
Yeah. See, I know all these all because that's when my kids were really young, and that's what we turned on for them a lot of times.
Yeah. No, it was Disney Junior. Yeah. We had Mickey Mouse Clubhouse and all that, too.
We even had Little Einstein.
Oh, gosh. I can't do that.
Does that bring up a trauma?
Yeah. So being in Target back in the early 2000s, just on a loop every 2 seconds.
We're going for a trip. And our favorite rocket ship. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, stuck in my head now, too. So Mickey Starland had specific meet and greets there that were pretty cool. Yeah. So you could meet Launchpad, Goofy, Rescue Rangers, Chip and Dale in their outfits, which they brought that back. Didn't they brought that back during the 50th?
They brought Chip and Dale back. For
in the Rescue Ranger,
not too long ago,
but because they met over by the stunt show.
Mm-hmm.
But besides the Disney Afternoon, which was amazing enough, you know, that the 90s was also the Renaissance era of the animated films. So we had in the 90s Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, and Lion King, which arguably like probably the three of the best of all time.
Right. I think it was said best that time in Honest Trailers when it says the peak of Disney animation followed immediately by its downfall. Huh. I think that's pretty true.
Yeah. It took a few years, but I mean, was not as good.
Well, the things they focused on about it followed immediately by its downfall, they started doing all those straight-to-home video sequels. That was what they were referring to.
Lion King 2, Simba's Pride.
Yes. I don't know what that was such a cash grab thing, though, right? That was an Eisner cash grab.
Oh, yeah. Which I'm assuming those were maybe animated at MGM Studios, too. I don't know.
I really don't know.
Could have been. So another thing, moving on, another thing that happened in the 90s that hasn't happened since is Disney opening a new theme park.
Ah, yes.
April 22nd, 1998 was the last time Disney opened a new theme park.
And it's likely to be another decade before they'll even start on a fifth gate.
Yeah, according to their plans.
Right.
So,
I'll be 84 years old. No.
I'll only be 82. Anyway. So, I do remember, like, a lot of the things. I don't think we were super hyped, though, about going to Animal Kingdom, although we did go. long after it first opened. But
it did kind of fly below the radar a little bit. I remember seeing the special on it with Drew Carey.
Really?
Prior to going, yeah.
Hmm.
You can look that up, by the way. I think it's out on YouTube.
I'm sure, yeah. I'll have to look that up.
But when that was it was all about Animal Kingdom. I don't know if it was like right before it opened or it had just opened, one of the two. But yes.
Yep.
Starting out with they initially launched the dinosaur was initially launched as Countdown to Extinction. It's funny thing about that ride is they started it and never intended for there to be an iguanodon in the original attraction. Like they had already put this attraction in place without it. But as you can see, it was kind of easy to just throw it in there.
Sure.
And that was at Eisner's behest, by the way, to tie it into the dinosaur movie.
Right. Because yes. The movie
was coming out. They had it all set to go without dinosaur. And then, of course, they ultimately changed the name to dinosaur and put the iguanodon out front, which used to be a triceratops. Used to be in the water there out front.
Right.
So back when it functioned properly.
Yeah. So some other things that happened in the 90s. Blizzard Beach opened in 95, the water park. And of course, Disney Cruise Line launched. Yes. So a lot of really cool things started in the 90s that.
Oh, one more thing about dinosaur. They had the main dinosaur. That was another thing they had to alter like last minute was to make it look like the Carnotaurus, or they chose the Carnotaurus, but I think they made the dinosaur in the film look like it or something. I can't remember what it was, but they had to come up. That's why the ending scene is basically a very rushed just ahead of the Carnotaurus on a rail that comes at you. That's one of the reasons why that was not a more sophisticated effect, is because it was rushed to be put together for it. But anyway.
I see. So a lot there. Well,
yes.
I just to continue on that, I'm actually curious. My son and I were talking about that. Is Disney going to, they say the Indiana Jones is going to be an original, not a copy of the one in California. But obviously the track virtually the same. So how are they going to make it a unique story? Will be interesting to me, but I am looking forward to seeing Indy.
Well, is it going to be an all new story? Because if so, they haven't learned their lesson yet when it comes to the IP of the Lucas particularly.
Right. Oh my gosh.
So,
it would be nice if they did it like Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like,
it would be more popular.
Yeah. Because that is the best film in the series. So kind of went downhill after that. But Crusade is a close second, I guess. But
I don't say it went downhill after that. I mean, Doom is good. I just don't.
Good. It's just.
I actually think the only one that, if I were going to rank them, I still put. Crystal Skull last.
It's hard to say, honestly. Crystal Skull, the first half of the movie is really good, actually. But once they start going in,
yeah, but it jumped the shark or swung the monkey, I guess.
Right. And that really
swinging monkeys was the jump the shark moment.
Yeah, once you get like not even there, like before that, it's still. It just goes downhill. But the first half of that movie is very good, actually.
If you say so.
Pretty strong.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is. But I mean,
it's like they started strong and then it just sort of got weird.
I enjoyed the last film, personally.
It's too long for one. It's not terrible, though. It's not terrible. But I don't know. It's hard for me to rank the final twos. They're okay, but.
Anyway, this is not an Indiana Jones podcast.
Okay, so here's another thing that happened in the 90s that doesn't really happen today. MGM Studios had parades.
Oh, yeah. And
they probably led into the early 2000s, too, but it started in the 90s. But there was Aladdin's Royal Caravan. Toy Story had a parade. Hercules had one. The Zero to Hero Victory Parade. So Mulan ended up with one.
Every time they released a film, pretty much.
Yeah. After that, they didn't really do those anymore.
Yeah. Well, before that, though, were they still doing the Celebrity Parade in the early 90s, or was that just through 89?
I don't know.
From when they first opened? The Star of the Day, I mean.
Right. I don't know when that ended. I wish I'd look into that one.
But yeah.
Also, when they did Star Wars weekends, they would frequently have actors from Star Wars in a parade. I remember that. I'm not exactly
true
when Star Wars weekend started.
They had the ones that were easy to get. Let's put it that way.
Right. But a lot of them showed up, like Peter Mayhew and stuff like that. They would show up.
Like I said, ones that were easy to guess.
I think they got, I think they got Mark Hamill once, didn't they? I don't know. I have to look.
Yeah, because he was so busy doing what? The Joker? I mean.
Yeah, he wasn't super busy in the 90s, but. Anyway, so another big thing in the 90s, since we're talking about parades and nighttime parades, Spectrum Magic debuted in 91.
Yes.
And, one of the best, if not the best, nighttime parade. It's up there. It's in the conversation.
DVC originated in the 90s?
Yep. New Year's Eve parties at Pleasure Island. I was definitely too young for those, but Pleasure Island, a lot of people said if you were an adult, it was a great place.
Had opportunities, but for whatever reason, never did. I later on regretted not doing, say, the Adventurers Club.
Yeah. Man.
That would have been a fun one.
Yeah. I kind of wish something like that existed today, because that would have been cool to, as an adult, to go.
Because it still existed
up until,
for several years after I was old enough.
Yeah.
So.
Looks like 2005.
No, it had to be.
Well, they're talking about, it says Pleasure Island in the 90s was Party Central after dark every night from 1990 to 2005. They celebrate New Year's Eve with fireworks and confetti at midnight. Oh, wow. Did they really? Oh, and.
Yeah, every night was New Year's Eve. Yes, I remember that.
A lively street.
So that part dying by 2005, I could see.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to.
But the rest of it, no.
Yeah, yeah. Because it wasn't New Year's Springs until like 2015, right? 2014, 15, somewhere in there.
You know, I don't know how true it is, but the rumor at the time was that what they originally intended to do with that island was Eisner and the crew were really thinking that Florida was close to legalizing gambling on, you know, basically a floating barge, which is what Pleasure Island would have been. So that was the idea that they were preparing for. And then when it all fell through, they turned it into what it was, pretty much. Yeah. So
didn't happen. Well,
that's what they were preparing for, though. They were preparing for legalized gambling on Disney property.
That would have been interesting.
I say that's what they were doing, according to rumor.
Yeah, yeah.
They were preparing for that.
Well, you would have made a lot of money that way, I'm sure.
Yes.
They have, like, Mickey chips or...
I have no idea. I'm sure they would Disney-fied it somehow.
Would they?
Made it fun. It was like, we have a whole new way for you to lose your money to us.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, they came up with new ways to lose your money and just not gambling.
Maybe I can't really raise. Ha ha.
Yeah. Oh, that would be the slot machine. When you
Oh, you did that?
Hook or when you lost.
Yeah.
All right. One other thing that it mentions for the 90s that we definitely won't get anything like this again. The anniversary birthday cake castle for the 25th anniversary.
Yeah, people, it's funny. There's a lot of people that remember that with fondness. Probably because it was maybe around the time that they took their first trip. And that's what one of the first ones they saw. I was glad it was a temporary thing for sure. It wasn't even completely, they didn't even do the whole castle, like the backside. You could see it was undone. They just made sure the front, like that, for TV cameras and what have you, was completed.
There's something about seeing it from behind, though. That, yeah. Anyway,
And the like the lifesaver stacks and stuff, they were like inflatables or something, yep. Right?
Yeah, you could see them moving around the
yeah
the candles that were on there.
Yeah. So
it was nicknamed the Pepto-Bismol cake. Or
some people did.
Yeah. But yeah.
Had one of the more memorable anniversary tunes.
Mm-hmm. Remember the Magic.
And Remember the Magic.
And didn't... This isn't on the list that I came up with, but the debut of Fantasmic with the that song, the Fantasmic song, is very iconic and still a part of Disney today.
Right. And what about resorts that were built in the 90s? You know, we have
right.
Coronado Springs for one. I know that was a 90s one that was 90s. One that was erected in the 90s.
Yeah. I mean, you've got the Boardwalk.
Beach Club, Yacht Club.
Yeah.
Yeah. Swan and Dolphin.
Wilderness Lodge, one of the best hotels they've got. Yeah, it was 94, I think.
Of course, Animal Kingdom Lodge came along, I think, with the park, didn't it, or not long after?
Yeah, it may have been 99. It probably opened before.
It may have gone after. It may have gone on into the next decade, if I could be wrong about that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of great resorts were built in the 90s.
All-Stars was made in the 90s.
Yeah.
All three of them.
Yeah.
And there was, the room, I don't like, think.
$59 or something back when it first opened.
Yeah, something ridiculously low. Pop was the 2000s, so I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of cool. I mean, the 90s, yeah, it was a great time to grow up, honestly, for me. I mean, being a kid in the 90s, about as good as you could get, I think.
A lot of the Backlot Tour went through a lot of iterations in the 90s. Kept getting shorter and shorter.
Yes, which I think it needed to be.
It kept getting shorter and shorter.
Yeah, my siestas. Yeah. But the props would change here and there, too, like some of the props you'd see on the Backhaul Tour. And I guess Herbie went away at some point.
Yeah, I don't know when Herbie went away.
Yeah.
I'm not real sure exactly at what point. There are a lot of iconic things that closed during this era, because Epcot went through an overhaul, right, in the mid-90s.
That's true, though. The mid-90s, yeah, the... New
Epcot. So that's when Epcot was basically being changed.
Right.
You had Food Rocks came along.
Yeah, took over Kitchen Cabaret. And then World of Motion closed. Horizons closed before the decade was out.
Yeah.
Test Track did open before, barely before the decade was out.
Didn't Figment technically, didn't it change before the decade was out, the first time anyway?
Yeah, I think so.
I think it debuted late 99, right, for the new show.
I believe it was, yeah.
That they eventually added Figment back to.
Yep.
Figment was not even in it. It was Journey into Imagination. Journey into your imagination. So.
Yep.
Yeah, the biggest one to close out the decade, though, probably attraction-wise, was definitely Test Track. It was one of those interesting ones for sure, because even after it opened, it had a lot of downtime, which continued until, well, now. So even with the changes, it still continues.
Yeah. 90s were a great time. Indeed. Well, I think that's going to wrap this one up. We'll put a bow on that. We could talk about the 90s probably forever, but there's a lot of good things.
Came out of the 90s.
Yeah. So it was a good time. This poster was from 92. It was by me.
Yeah, I do remember that. The original design was, right? That's not a 92. That's not an original, right?
No, this is. Yeah. It still has the price.
That one is?
I got it on eBay, though. It's not the one that we had, but...
Oh, okay. I
buy that one on eBay, but... It had the original price tag. It was like $2.50 or something. I forgot. It was very cheap.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just move the decimal point
right
for today.
Today, yeah. Maybe.
A couple of places.
I bet you got $250 more.
Yeah.
No, I think I bought an original. Well, I bought a Magic Kingdom map, but it was nowhere near that big. It was like tiny.
Right.
That was in the at the 50th anniversary. And it was maybe, that was like 10 or I forgot. Maybe it was $20. I don't know. Maybe more. I don't know. All right. Well, where can we be found?
Well, that's, there's always Facebook. There's X. There's Instagram. That's all at TWTM Podcast. We have a Spreadshirt store, which you can get your exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast. We also have a TeePublic store where you can get your Team Skyliner shirt, not your Team Monorail shirt.
You can.
And and we have a YouTube channel.
Also, though, on our TeePublic, you can get the Raphs Were a Ride shirt.
Oh, is it official now?
It's out there. It has long.
Okay.
So go find your Raphs Were a Ride shirt there, along with our website, travelingwiththemouse.com. You can find links to all that and more there. Email us, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. So for John, my name is Adam. This has been Traveling with the Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip. Back to the 90s. I love the 90s.
I love the 90s. Strikes back.